Warning, the following program is designed for casual wrestling fans and is meant purely for entertainment. If you're SAWFT, proceed at your own risk. Viewer discretion is advised. Brother, I'm going on a wild Hulk Hogan. If I like get some moment, I'll make sure it's an explosion. Cause lately I've been seeing stars, trying to kick out of this joke horse. But it's no host bar, middle fingers like I'm Stone Cold.
Not ready, they don't know what's coming, man. So we gonna drop this on them right here. Y'all ain't ready for this, y'all ain't ready for none of this.
Your boy's a bad man, let me invade in the streets. Make them clap a rapper skirt, they be dropping the heat. Shock the world, now I'm standing alone. I flip fools like them clamshell cellular phones. You can't help but nod your head to the track. Fuck the water down rap, we be taking it back. Give it to me straight, ain't no chasing it. Check yourself in the mirror, ain't no facing it. Cause you playing the role and you planning to fold. It's the master plan, we got the planet on hold. We all over the streets like your favorite sneaker. Breaking up your sound like a drive-through speaker. Everything that I be spitting is strong. After I rock, fast forward through the rest of the song. We the monkey wrench that's gonna ruin your plan. And don't fuck with John Cena, I'm a bad, bad man.
And what is best for business is, for the first time, I confidently say that I'm gonna win a 17th championship.
Feel like we're on the road to WrestleMania now?
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you have a few extra weeks, you gotta wait. And I know patience is hard to come by, but
what is good, everybody? It is your boy, We Too Deep, and we are back with another episode of the Slappin' Me Wrestling Podcast. And I know what y'all are thinking. We too deep. We too deep. You overreacted. You had to apologize to Papa H, right? Well, let's slow down for a minute, right? Because I know that's what everyone's thinking. He's got to apologize. All these people who are saying his booking has been bad for Mania up to this point has to apologize, right? And I wanna, we're going to address that, but we'll address that at the very end of the episode. Did I actually overreact? Do I owe Triple H an apology? Was I wrong? Was I wrong about Triple H's booking into WrestleMania? And I'm going to tell you something. You know what? We're actually going to we'll end with the thoughts on the show. Let's actually cover this now. Since I brought it up. Was I wrong with how Triple H has been booking? Or have I just been 100% justified in what I've been saying for the last year and a half, that Triple H does this thing where he has one big show. He unleashes a big thing. He unleashes the big load on everybody, right? And it gets everyone in his good it gets him in everyone's good graces. But does that mean that overall this has been a good build to WrestleMania? I would say let's slow down, let's not overreact. Let's not take what we saw last night, which, by the way, 10 out of 10, very, very, very good PLE that we just saw there. Great. One of the best, right? This is in the running for potentially being the best Elimination Chamber PLE we've seen in a while, but possibly the best PLE of the year. But let's not overreact. Let's not allow Triple H to give us the big load and forget about the fact that the last 6 weeks have been pretty bad, right? And then post-Mania on the way to on the way to SummerSlam, there's going to be a time when the booking gets slow. Because, guys, this is Triple H's trick. This is what I'm talking about with tricks and trinkets. This is the trick. He gives us the big meal. He gives us Thanksgiving feast on the road to WrestleMania. And we're feasting right now, right? We're happy. We were starving on Friday. Saturday comes, he gives us the big feast. Now we're full. We're satiated. We're happy. He's back in our good graces. Thank you, Triple H, for everything that you've given us. Mania is going to come around. Backlash is going to come around. Saudi is going to come around. Money in the Bank is going to come around. And come July, we're going to be hungry again. So what does he do? He's going to give us a big feast for SummerSlam. And September is going to come around. October is going to come around. We're going to be hungry again. And he gives us the big feast at War Games, right? And then he goes from War Games to the build to Mania, right? This is his trick. Everything that happened last night, I 100% expected to happen outside of what happened at the very, very end of the show. We'll talk about that. But in terms of having a clarity in the storyline to WrestleMania, I fully expected that we would get stories that came out of Chamber. That's not the point. That's not the point that I've been making. I don't owe Triple H an apology. His booking for everything outside of what we just saw. Because what did we just see? We saw the main event scene get clarity. You know what we don't have clarity on? We don't have clarity on the U.S. title. We don't have clarity on the IC title. What the fuck is Bron Breakker going to do, right? We don't have clarity on the tag team titles. We don't have clarity on the women's mid-card titles. We have clarity in terms of the main event, the big picture, the big things, the world champions. We have clarity there. But we don't have clarity on the mid-card. And if anyone knows me, I believe the mid-card, right? So let me give you an example, right? Friday night, Triple H hastily books, in my opinion, sloppily books a United States Championship number one contender tournament. And we're going to do the whole tournament. It's six people. We're going to do three matches. We're going to do three matches of two, the qualifiers. Then we're going to do a fourth match of the winners of those, a triple threat, to determine who's going to be the number one contender to Shinsuke Nakamura's championship. Well, let me tell you how this would have been booked under Vince McMahon, because I believe Vince did this better, right? You know what would have happened post-Royal Rumble, right? He would have seen, okay, WrestleMania is mid-April. So WrestleMania is mid-April. He would have counted back 7 weeks. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, which would have been Friday, by the way. He would have started on Friday an 8-person tournament. We would have done one match a week, right? So that first round would be Friday, February 28th, March 7th, March 14th and March 21st, right? Second round, now we're down to four people, right? So we got two matches. So the second round would be March 28th and April 4th would be the second round. The finals would be on April 11th. And then the go-home show to Mania that Friday the 18th would be the stare-down between the winner of the tournament and the champion. That's how Vince McMahon would have booked the U.S. title picture. And guess what? You know what I felt with Triple H? We have no idea where we're going. We're going to sloppily do this. And we need filler for this show because we have nothing on this show tonight. We have no plan for this show tonight. So we're just gonna throw four matches for the U.S. title on this card, and then people are going to be okay with that. But Vince McMahon would have given us the 7 weeks in between Mania and now, right? From Friday to Mania, we would have had 7 weeks in between, right? and he would have made this tournament last all 7 weeks so that we tune in every single week for this division, right? And it would have spent, you know, so that, oh, you have extra weeks, you got to wait. Okay, well, that's cool for Cody Rhodes in the main event. But what about the mid card, right? So I wasn't wrong. I don't owe Triple H shit. Because the booking is for the mid card is still absolute dog water. It still is not good. Right? It's cool that you wanted to do this big story for Cody Rhodes. I absolutely love this. And right? It's cool that you wanted to wait to Elimination Chamber to book all of your main event scene. I'm fine with that. The thing where I'm not going to give Triple H credit because he gives us this big feast and then he's going to let us starve at the very end of the 3 months in between now and or the 4 months between now and SummerSlam. This is just enough, right? He's sort of like the politician who does just enough right before re-election. Right. And right before re-election comes around. Right. So, right before re-election comes around. Now he's going to start fulfilling promises that he made. Now he's going to care about the people so that he can get re-elected, get back in the good graces. Right. That's what Triple H feels like to me. Right. People are starting to critique him, his booking again. So guess what? We got the secret here that we've been holding on to. Right. And that's right. So the main event picture, I'm fine with holding on to things and doing big, long stories like this. That's fine if you want to do that. But what about the mid card? U.S. title picture's a convoluted mess. The tag title scene is a convoluted mess. We had a brawl that was going on that no one knew what the hell was happening. No one benefited from it and nothing came from it. We now have 6 weeks until WrestleMania. You got right. But we get a big load and everyone all of a sudden starts to turn back around and says, no, wait a minute. Triple H might actually be. No, see, don't buy into the tricks. Don't buy into it. Triple H. This is how he books. And this is how we should get accustomed to him booking. Also, I've been telling you since he took over, Triple H books PLEs the best out of any booker probably in the world right now. But it's the week to week in between that he suffers on. And he's very inconsistent in. But he'll book PLEs. He booked the fuck out of NXT TakeOvers. Very big events, surprises all over the place. But when it came to the week to week, Triple H sucked at it. When you had 3 months in between takeover to takeover and you had 3 months worth of Undisputed Era doing the same shit for 3 months and you got really bored with that product, and then takeover came around and you got the big load, right? That's how Triple H books, is how he's always booked. So no, I don't owe Triple H an apology. I don't necessarily think I overreacted. I think I reacted with the information that we were given. And even still with the new information we got last night, which we'll talk about that show in a minute, was I really wrong about Triple H? I told you guys he was going to unleash a big load at this show. And that this was going to be the feast to get us through Mania. And we're supposed to ration it out, but everyone's going to eat this shit up right now. And by the time we get to SummerSlam, we're going to be starving again. And the booking is not going to be good. And he's going to be critiquing. And he's going to have that little trick to throw in. Possibly like a Money in the Bank, right? He always does this. The PLE before the big show, he injects energy into everything by some big surprise. So Money in the Bank, which is typically the show before SummerSlam. Money in the Bank's probably going to have some big surprises, right? Just go ahead and prepare for that. That doesn't necessarily mean the booking's good. It just means that Triple H plays his game with us as fans, right? Now let's get into the show because this PLE, 10 out of 10, without a doubt. 10 out of 10. I'm not going to sit here and say that the show last night was bad. I'm not going to do that. All I want to say is I personally don't feel like I was wrong in my characteristic of Triple H's booking. He's not good. He just knows how to manipulate people. He knows how to manipulate the people who watch the product into thinking that he's good. And I see through that. I see through the manipulation that what he was trying to do, right? I see all the IWC right now, excuse me, people who were hating on Triple H saying, I owe you an apology. Guys, you're being manipulated. You're being manipulated, right? There's no reason why he couldn't have ran a U.S. tournament that took 7 weeks to get us to Mania instead of running it all in 1 week. There's no reason why we can't have some clarity in any of the mid-card titles right now. Right? Do all the big convoluted stuff for Cody Rhodes. That's fine. In fact, I'm going to eat the fuck out of that shit because that was great. But when you look at the totality of this card, there's going to be two possibilities here. You're either going to have a very heavy loaded card with a mid card that really doesn't matter, or you're going to have a WrestleMania that has 10 total matches over two nights. And it's going to be the main event stuff, and the rest of the mid card is going to get shoved on Raw and SmackDown, and they don't get their Mania moment. Which based off of Triple H's words in the presser last week, which I actually enjoy how Triple H books, because he's merit based, he's talent based, and not because someone asked him about women main eventing, one of the women main eventing, and his answer, because again he recognized that this was a trick question, right? He answered was, I treat them all with the same respect. They're all going to have to earn their spot. The card's not set yet in terms of order of the matches. They're going to have to earn their spot over the next 6 weeks. I enjoyed that answer, by the way. I think that's the proper answer. Right? But we're probably going to have a 10-match Mania. Right? And it's going to be the big stars. Right? Which to some may be okay with, but I think that at this point, like, what's the point of having the two mid-card titles if they're never going to be utilized on a big show? What's the point of having a mid-card in general? You have a loaded roster of wrestlers who are never going to get PLE notice, right? You got, excuse me, you got people like Lyra Valkyria who could have highly benefited from a match last night. Whether it was a title defense or something along the lines, but instead that gets shoved on a Monday Night Raw. Someone like a Chelsea Green, who is from Toronto, you could have booked, instead of doing Trish and Tiffany in a match where Tiffany really didn't get anything from it. And I know the casual people said, oh, well, this is the babyface. She's over. She's got the sympathy now. She's the babyface turn is complete. Guys, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. I don't think it's that simple. Like, I also think, like, Tiffany Stratton was already getting cheered, and she already would get cheered more because of her opponent with Charlotte. The babyface turn ended the second Charlotte chose her to be the opponent. The babyface turn was complete. She was the babyface. But there's no reason why she has to play the sappy, I need sympathy babyface. I'm telling you right now. If Charlotte Flair wins this match, and I love Charlotte Flair, think she's the greatest of all time, would not mind another title run. It's not because she wins. It's I feel that Tiffany Stratton losing this match at WrestleMania hurts her career more than any sympathy booking that you could do over the next 365 days would benefit it. If you want to push Tiffany Stratton to the moon, you have her beat Charlotte Flair this year. She doesn't need sympathy. That's not her character. You could be a good girl. You could be the baby face and still be a bad bitch. And I don't understand why Triple H puts this template on everyone where if we're going to push you, you're going to be the big guy or the big girl in our company. We need you to have like a year-long build. That doesn't need to happen for Tiffany Stratton. right? So can we actually talk about some of these smaller details, right? Y'all are so high. Y'all are going off of this high of how great last night was. And all those surprises and the tricks and the manipulation that Triple H uses. He manipulated y'all last night. He manipulated y'all last night. He knew you were hungry, so he gave you a feast so that you could say, thank you, Master. But he's not going to feed you any more food until Money in the Bank. He's expecting you to live off of what he just gave you for the next, March, April, May, June, and then Money in the Bank is typically the beginning of July. So you got to go 4 months with the what he just gave you. He's not going to feed you no more for the next 4 months. And when you're starving in July and Money in the Bank, he's going to come back and bring you another feast. Hey, kids, I know you're hungry. Here's a feast. And you're going to say, thank you, Master. And that food's supposed to last you to War Games. August, September, October, November, another 4 months. And at War Games, he's going to give you something crazy. And that's supposed to last you till February. Right? He does this. He books in 4 month increments where he gives you enough sustenance, right? And by the end of that 4 months, you're starving again. And so he gives you another 4 months. That's all Triple H books. Learn the game. It's all about the game and how you play it, right? Learn the game. I've recognized the patterns of Triple H's booking. So I won't be manipulated by this booking, right? This isn't going to change the way I look at Triple H's booking. In 2.5 months, when Mania's over and we're building through Backlash and Crown Jewel, King of the Ring, I'm assuming is going to be the Saudi show. When we're building through that and the booking gets slow and the booking gets bad, again, y'all are going to come back to me and be like, oh, you were right. And then he's going to give you that big load, that big feast, and you're going to be like, oh, see, you should have apologized. No. Stop being manipulated. Stop allowing yourself to be manipulated in this. Call out bad booking when booking is bad. You know, it wasn't bad, though. Elimination Chamber. So let's actually talk about the results of this show. So we start with the women's Elimination Chamber match, which is where I 100% thought we should have started this show. Right? And so we get everyone in the pods, and we got Alexa in the pod, we got Bailey in the pod, we got Bianca in the pod, we got Roxanne in the pod, right? So we're starting with Liv. Liv Morgan's out there. Now, Liv's music's playing for a very long time, longer than everybody else's, right? And so I'm in the casual wrestling community Discord. We're live chatting during this event. And I made the joke. I was like, now, if they booked it the way I think they're going to book it, turn the camera to the back and show Naomi laid out in the back. Well, that didn't happen. Naomi's music does eventually end up playing. She gets into the ring. The match starts. And Jade Cargill returns. And beats the ever-living hell out of Naomi. Just destroys her. Naomi can't compete. She's getting stretchered out. Right? Bianca's in her pod just losing it. Having a breakdown. So part of me is thinking, oh boy. What's about to happen here? Part of me is thinking Bianca's losing. She's about to get pinned because the countdown goes off. She's the next one entered. I'm like, oh boy, she's distracted. She's right. Liv's going to pin her. And the match is over. Well, that's not what happens. They go, next person comes in. I don't remember the order they came, but eventually everyone came into the match. And they put on a really, really, really good starting match for this feud. For this, right? Not exactly certain if any major stories were made from this. I still think Bayley versus Roxanne will happen at Stand and Deliver. I think as far as like Alexa Bliss, we're not exactly certain what's going on with her. I knew of some people who were picking Alexa to win this match, and I thought that was weird because I thought that she was the easiest to eliminate because she is going to be with the Wyatts. Like, that's painfully clear now. And they're not going to do some crazy Wyatt stuff during the Chamber match. They're just not going to do it. I also thought Alexa, like, her first feud's not going to be for the title, right? If anything, I can see a world where Liv and Raquel defend the titles against, like, Nikki Cross and Alexa Bliss. That could be the possibility. Excuse me. But I not quite certain if anything with her. You know, of course, Naomi's taken out, which is good, right? So the main focus of this match, though, was, you know, Bayley, Raquel. Alexa sort of left there to figure out her thing, but she's with the Wyatts more than likely, right? Or possibly going against Liv. But the last two with Liv and Bianca, or as Wade Barrett loves to pronounce it, Bianca Belair. That hair whip. That was the loudest one I've ever heard. That was louder than the Sasha Banks one. And everyone was like, there's no way that was real. Bro, that's real. That's the sound of a whip. That's the sound of, you know, when you have hair moving that fast, anything moving that fast, really, making that quick of contact to skin. Yeah, that you're going to get the explosion sound, right? But yeah, guys, here's where I should be a little bit more energetic with this, but guys, do I not have the vision? Was I not correct? Right. Wavy D tried to persuade me that Liv Morgan was winning this match, and I was buying into Wavy D, but guys, I knew it all along. Right. In fact, with both Elimination Chambers, when John Cena lost and I came out and said John Cena's winning the chamber, I should have stuck to my guns. Because I got it right. I saw the vision for Elimination Chamber long before anybody else did. Because I originally predicted both of them correct. And everyone was trying to say, no, Punk's going to win. And I bought into Wavy D's little story about Roman and said, no, guys, we're going a completely different direction. We got to take a point from that Nostradamus card that Wavy D said he has. I'm just going to say, because I saw the vision first. I saw Cena, I saw Bianca. I've been saying since Jade Cargill's been attacked that it was Bianca. And guys, trust me, it was Bianca. Naomi was just, you had to get Naomi out of the way, right? So now Jade can go and beat Bianca's ass one-on-one. Guys, I'm seeing the vision. Bianca won the Elimination Chamber. She's going into WrestleMania to fight Rhea Ripley. Let's be honest with ourselves here. Io has zero chance to win this match tomorrow night. Everyone's like, well, it's going to be a triple threat. That's why Io was, no. Io was on the stage because they're trying to sell this as it's one or the other. But let's be painfully honest with each other right now. Io has zero chance tomorrow night. Rhea Ripley's walking out with the title. And it's going to be Rhea Ripley versus Bianca Belair. Finally, the match we've all been waiting for, been teased for several years. And we get the match the fans want. Thank you, WWE. I'll give you some praise for this, Triple H. You listened. You gave us Bianca versus Rhea. Finally. And Bianca Belair is going to win the... Well, now, I'm not 100% confident because Jade could come out and cost her the match at Mania. However, I think the better feud, for the betterment of the storyline, Bianca Belair will win the championship at WrestleMania. And the build from Mania to SummerSlam will be Jade Cargill versus Bianca Belair. It may even be one of these things where at King of the Ring, where maybe Bianca gets attacked after winning the title by Jade. Bianca says, I'm not giving you a shot. You have to earn this. So Jade goes and wins Queen of the Ring and says, Bianca, SummerSlam, you're mine. Right? That could be the story. And we get 2 months build of Jade Cargill against Bianca Belair. And Jade Cargill's winning the championship at SummerSlam. I'm telling you right now. You know how I know this, guys? You got to pay attention. Who's the wrestlers they use to promote MetLife Stadium SummerSlam 2 nights? It was Jade and Bianca. Right? I'm starting to believe that Triple H does actually have a vision. It's just he has to use tricks to get it out there. And there maybe it does require a little bit of patience. I'm not saying that I'm completely right in everything that I say about Triple H. I think that my bigger issue isn't yes, let's have patience for some of the bigger stories. But when it comes to the mid-card, there's no reason why Shinsuke Nakamura, has he actually defended the title in a meaningful match? Does that division mean anything? When was the last time Bron Breakker actually defended the title since he won it? What about these tag teams? Like, where the hell are the War Raiders? They're the champions. We ain't seen them in a minute. That's the part that bothers me. Is that for as much effort as Triple H puts in at booking the top of the card, there's not even half that effort is being booked to book the mid card. So you have a top heavy card, and eventually that weight's going to make everything crumble because the bottom can't support it. I think we need a little bit more effort in building the mid card and the bottom tier part of the roster. Because that is the part that you could put on a Raw and a Smack. There's no reason why you need to have Cody Rhodes on TV every single week. I know there's a lot of people in the IWC who want to see the main events, and that's it. They don't want to see the maker, but that's how you book a wrestling show. Your week to week should feature your mid card and matches, and then promos and vignettes and backstage stuff from your bigger talents. In the stories being told that way, right? But let's continue with the next match. Trishing and Tiffy versus Candice and Nia. This was the piss break. Nothing really interesting happened. I mean, it was what we thought it was. To me, it went a little bit too long. I'm just going to be completely honest. I thought it was way too long of a match. But outside of that, ain't got much bad to say about it. Ain't got much good to say about it. It was what it was. Candice LeRae probably needs to go. She's definitely not someone that I would trust in this situation. She's too indie for me, to be completely honest. She's good in the ring. Don't take that as a critique. I think her style doesn't fit everybody else that she was in the ring with. Nia Jax is also dangerous as shit. Like, and we already know this, and I keep hearing like some people like Wavy D say, oh, she's improved. But she's still not nowhere close to being someone I would trust to be in the ring with. Like, she was swinging Trish Stratus around like it was not like she like bonked her head like at full force against a turnbuckle. Like, if I was a woman, the last person I would want to be in a match against on that roster is Nia Jax. Because even though she's improved, she's still a danger in the ring, in my opinion. And then the last problem that I have with this match is that there was no Charlotte interference at any. This build for Tiffy versus Charlotte has been absolutely. This is part also what I want to. This build for this match has been awful. They got 6 weeks to fix it, and I doubt they will, because the problem is they're gonna try to make Tiffany Stratton someone that needs sympathy. She doesn't need sympathy. She's a bad bitch. Let her be a bad bitch. I just don't understand why we need to have her be the baby face that requires the fan. Like, at some point, she just wants, like, a baby face could just be like, look at what I've done. Charlotte, you're here. You're trying to take my spotlight, but it's my time right now. I don't think Tiffy needs to fully embrace being the white meat baby face. That's just me, though, right? So we'll move on. Unsanctioned match. Now, traditionally, understandably why they didn't put this on last, because you couldn't follow what ended the show, right? So traditionally, so I know a lot of people in the casual Discord, when we were talking about it, were like, what's up with the lights? What's up with the spotlight? So traditionally, these were called lights out matches, right? And they would turn the lights off like the show was over, then turn the spotlight on. You would get your entrances, and you would have the match. This was a fantastic match. These two killed it out there. Fantastic. Sami Zayn is done. I don't think Sami Zayn's at Mania. I think we will get Sami Zayn back after Mania. I think he's going to take some much-needed time off. He deserves it, absolutely. And we're obviously going to go in the direction of Randy Orton versus Kevin Owens, which will be fantastic. Guys, and I know a lot of people were upset at some of how that ended, right? The match itself, there's not much to say. They did crazy shit like we expected them to do, right? It's more so, again, the story at the very end with Randy coming back. And people are like, oh, well, Randy, you know, no one wanted to stop Kevin. No one would get physical with Kevin. But when Randy tried to do the punt, guys, you're thinking too deep about this. There's something you need to learn about Triple H. He doesn't care about the minute details. Right? He's telling storylines. Right? And we'll talk about that more with John Cena, because there were some questions that were asked that I want to address, right, that I think people are just thinking too deep into. Why stop the punt here? Because the punt right now, so you planted the seed for the punt. So when it happens in Las Vegas at WrestleMania, you will get the pop. They're going to tease it so many times over the next 6 weeks. I bet we get at least six opportunities where Randy Orton can punt Kevin Owens. And he's not going to do it, or he's going to get stopped from doing it. And then the match is going to happen. And in Las Vegas, whether it's the 19th, night one or night two, the 19th or the 20th, doesn't matter. When the punt connects and Randy Orton defeats Kevin Owens with the punt, that place is going to explode, right? Triple H is right. We do need some patience. This is one of those things. Just wait six more weeks. You're going to get the punt. It's going to happen. But you got to wait for the moment. Because that pop in Las Vegas, where the tension's higher, the meaning is better, and you get the punt back. You don't waste the punt on a run-in. You put it in a match that means something. Right? And so that's why the security did that, right? And the story was told that way. Just, I think at times we need to teach ourselves that don't think too deep about the minute details. Just watch the story as it proceeds, right? And I need to do that. I admit I need to do that as well. And then we get to the men's chamber, and this match was. It did not go the way I thought. That's just right. So. I was buying into Wavy D's little theory that Roman Reigns was coming to give the favor to Punk. That obviously did not happen. And when Logan Paul got eliminated and it wasn't by Cena, part of me was starting that Cena's winning this match. So I have two questions. Who's Logan Paul fighting? And what the hell are we doing with Roman Reigns? Those are my two questions leaving this match, right? Because we know Drew and Priest are going to be the match. They solidified that. I think very clear, right? And you saw Drew, he gets eliminated because he got overzealous, tried to go and attack Cena, and Damian sort of rolled him up from behind, pinned him. Damian then gets a claymore by Drew, right? So that's the match, right? That leads to Damian getting eliminated, right? Logan Paul gets eliminated. I don't even remember who eliminated him, but it wasn't Cena, and he really didn't make any, like, I would have immediately thought CM Punk maybe. But now Punk and Seth will be the match, because Seth gets eliminated and he's waiting outside the chamber for his way to, right? And CM Punk, like, is over by the open chamber door, and Seth comes in and stomps him, which leads to Cena picking up the victory, right? And John Cena wins the Elimination Chamber, like I initially said he would, by the way. I just want to continue to reference that I predicted both Elimination Chamber matches back in January. That I predicted both of them correct. And so we're going to get Cody versus Cena. And initially, I was not happy with this choice. But then we get Cody Rhodes music playing. Then Travis Scott comes out for whatever reason. Like, initially, someone's like, oh, he's going to play like that Mike Tyson role in the original Corporation story. I don't even think he's playing that. I think it's more just name recognition. And I really don't fully understand why Travis Scott had to be here for this. But then The Rock comes out. Final Boss is here. He's in the ring. And he's like, all right, Cody, you've had time. What's your decision? Cody Rhodes lays out, you know, Rock, my soul's no longer mine. And you can see The Rock's like, yeah, he's doing it, right? And then Cody's like, well, no, because I gave my soul to these people and to this ring and to this business. And he says, hey, Rock, go fuck yourself. And that, to me, was the oh shit moment. I thought that was it. I thought that was the last oh shit moment we were going to get. But the stare down just went on and on and on. And I'm like, when are we ending this? What's going to happen? What's going to happen? And then they go in for the embrace. Cody and Cena going for the embrace, and you see the change on John Cena's face. And let me tell you something. I don't think I've ever gotten out of bed quicker. And I've seen so many people who said the same thing, that like at this point in the show, it was getting late. They were tired, that they went from like a half sleep to like fully wide awake. Like they snorted a Monster energy drink in 3 seconds. When John Cena's face changes and you realize that for the thing that we've been waiting on for the past 20 years, the thing we never thought would happen, John Cena, Mr. Make-A-Wish himself, the definition of babyface or white meat babyface, the definition of Superman in this business, he sold his soul. and he finally gets his heel turn. Bro, so here's the thing. I don't think this is better than Hulk Hogan's. I don't. I think it's on level of in terms of meaning to the business, in terms of like this generation, I think we can say it's on the same level. I don't think it means that much though, considering that John Cena is retiring. And I think this is a quick little heel run that I think he can go on. Right? But we finally get it. The moment we never thought we would get. And guys, if you told me, now I know a lot of people were predicting, what if it's Cena? Watch out, watch them swerve us and say it was Cena. But I think all of us in the back of our mind were joking when we said that. Like, I was just on James and Cody's podcast and we talked about it. And I said, no, you know, Cody also agreed with me that no, they're not going to have him go heel on his last run. Right, that sort of seemed to be the narrative that I was hearing everywhere, that no one thought that they would actually turn Cena on his last run. Right? But it fucking happened. And let me tell you, the adult in me, I'm excited as hell. Like, I'm geeked up with that, right? Geeked up. But the little kid in me, but let me tell you this. I was never a baby, like super Cena baby face fan, right? I hated it. I was the Cena sucks side of that fan base. Right? Hey guys, let me tell you something. That little kid in me that hated John Cena, now is an adult. And he's on the dark side. And this is going to be great. This is going to be fantastic. This dude walked into the press conference, picked up the mic, dropped the mic, walked out, said nothing. At least he keeps character Dwayne looking right at you. This is going to be fantastic. I don't care how long it lasts. If it's just till Mania and Cena sort of reverts back, who knows? Maybe this leads to like Cena sells his soul to the devil. And The Rock tries to take it back. He realizes that The Rock can't actually provide what he sold out to. And so now we get Rock Cena 3 at like a SummerSlam. I could see that happening. There's so many potential ways this could go. You could have Cena win the title off of Cody. And then maybe put over a new babyface, someone like a Braun Breaker or a Trick Willie. How does R-Truth play into this? His childhood idol just turned on, right? There's so many. Bro, I can't even put it into words. I literally don't know how to even explain how this can even turn. Like, this is big. This is big. This is the big. This is industry changing for this generation. I don't think it's bigger than Hogan joining the NWO, because that had a movement behind it that actually changed wrestling. Like, Hogan joining NWO is the shot heard around the world that started the Attitude Era, because that started the real life type booking that Eric Bischoff started doing, which eventually led to the Attitude Era. And so the Monday Night War started because Hogan joined the NWO and WWE had to change their product to compete with what, because if they didn't start and compete, like, WWE goes out of business. 100% believe that, right? And so Hogan, which again is a reason why I think we have to respect Hogan. Like, Hogan in 84, when Hulkamania goes mainstream and TV and all that, and you got to thank him for that, because, right? But then also, he keeps the business alive by turning heel, right? He keeps WWE alive and he keeps wrestling alive, right? So, you know, I just got to throw that out there. But I don't know how to put this into words. And this sends shockwave. Like, there are kids all over the place that are crying right now. I guarantee, like, crying Cena said, fuck them kids. Here's the one thing I'm dreading. Please, for the love of all that is holy, do not have Def Rebel do this heel music for Cena. I'm fine with Travis Scott doing it. I think that's what they're going to do. Travis Scott's going to make the music for Cena. But I even if they play Bad Bad Man, the song that I played at the beginning, even if that's the song that they play, I would be 100% fine with that, actually. I don't know how to put this in. I don't even know how to put this in the words, right? WWE, you put on a fantastic 10 out of 10, 10 out of 10, without a doubt, 10 out of 10. This show was fantastic. Fantastic. It's the adrenaline that Mania needed. But don't let this show manipulate you into believing that Triple H is the greatest booker in the world, because he's not consistent with it. He's going to inject this adrenaline in you. He's going to inject you with this energy, and he has to do it every 4 months. I still think Shawn Michaels books better, and everyone can make all the excuses in the world about, oh, circumstances, and he doesn't have to book with it. And guys, NXT is booking with high-level talent week in and week out, the best product week in and week out. And so it's the best show on TV. I'm going to sit there and say that. Don't be manipulated by thinking Triple H is the best solely because he injects this energy into storylines right before big events. But the booking leading up to the big event, until he injects it in there, is ass, right? What we got last night was great. There's clarity in some of Mania. But I don't think that anyone who's critiqued Triple H's booking up to this point has to apologize. Right. So was I wrong? No, I wasn't wrong. Triple H, this has always been my argument. Triple H plays around with and manipulates the emotion of the fans. He gives them this giant feast every 4 months and expects us to last 4 months with this type of energy. Right. So when we get to Money in the Bank, expect surprises. And if you expect them, right. And when they happen, you're not going to be manipulated to completely fall in line with Triple H is the greatest booker of all time, right? So that's where I'll end it. There's not much else left to say about the show. We'll definitely talk about this more with Wavy D on Tuesday, how he felt about the show on Tuesday. So if you're in the Discord, go ahead and start asking some of your questions. Let me get so I can compile them together, and the finals of the Thirsty Tuesday tournament will be held next Tuesday. So that shall be interesting. But until then, thank you all for listening. We're finally on a decent road to WrestleMania. I'm pumped for it. This injects that adrenaline into the show. But again, I just don't be manipulated by this. Understand how storytelling works. Triple H is injecting fuel into the fuel tank for the first time in 4 months. So we're going to go zoom, zoom, zoom. We'll see what happens, right? We'll see what happens. Mania is going to be great. Never said it. That was never in doubt. But I still think that the mid card needs some work. That's my stance, right? But until then, I will see you on the next episode of the Slapping Me Wrestling Podcast. And I hope you have a great rest of your weekend. Enjoy Monday Night Raw tomorrow. And we'll see you on Tuesday.
So hit that subscribe, come along for the ride. AEWWE, we're always on side. From fantasy booking to baddies that slay. Slapping Me Wrestling every Tuesday.